How advanced is our window on the world? And we like to look at beautiful places. We've looked at places to go for vacation, many things that are lovely and wonderful. But sometimes we have to look at other parts of the world that have problems. Isn't that true?
That's certainly true. And I think it's a good thing for everyone to be aware of situations in other parts of the world.
And so we're going to have with us in our panelists today, that was Joshua.
And hello, everyone. I'm Carolyn. I'm glad to be back to talk more about this important crisis that's going on.
And our interns?
Hi, I'm Renee, and I'm an intern here, and I'm really glad I can talk about this article as well.
And I'm Joy, and I think this is just an important issue to address.
It's good for everybody to think about these things, not only just to say, well, I'm glad I don't live there. That's the one thing you might say. But that's not enough. If we really have compassion, we say, what can I do? I feel like I just want to get a plane and go over there and take some water and give them. We can't do that. But there must be something we can do. But don't you feel like we should have compassion on these people?
We certainly should have compassion. And I think compassion is a very important part of what we need to develop in ourselves in order to really change the world for the better.
But at the same time, I feel like just having compassion isn't enough. We need to do something about it to change it for the better. Just feeling, oh, I'm so sorry for you, and not doing anything to help you with the problem, then that's not enough.
That's absolutely the truth. Sometimes we have compassion. We say, I'm glad that's not me, but we don't do anything about it. So let's check this one out. And it's on our magazine on pages 40 and 41 about the water crisis in Madagascar. And as a quick review, if you didn't listen in yesterday, where is Madagascar?
Well, Madagascar is off the southeastern coast of Africa. It is an island nation.
And I think a lot of people have heard about Madagascar, but we don't think about it as being a place like that. I always think about a place that has tropical things and monkeys and animals. But now we're looking at it, they have a lot of crisis. Why do they have such a big crisis there?
Well, that is a very good question. In the article here that talks about climate change and how climate change has affected the rain cycle. And because of that, they have a drought that's been the worst in 35 years, which makes it impossible for them to not only grow food, but to have enough water for people to drink each day.
That's true. In fact, yesterday, one thing that really was surprising to me was how much of the harvest that they could get. Now, when you get a harvest, if you get 50%, that's not very much. How much was their harvest last year?
Well, it says that the harvest is 95% lower, meaning the harvest is 5%.
5% was all they got. Do you think that's enough food to feed all those people?
Probably not. The article mentions that there are nearly 850,000 people in Madagascar who desperately need food aid. So 5% of last year's crop or 2015's crop is probably not enough for those 850,000 people.
That's true. So we're just taking the story, this one lady here, and you see some photographs of them here, and they look very sad and very worried, and we would too if we were there. But this has been something that we could call this an eye-opener for us. We see how bad it is in that part of the world, and so we're going to read more about it today. Where are we going to start today?
Today we're going to start on page 41 in your Advanced magazine.
Okay, so let's read the first part down through line 23.
Tanali, 42, has 6 of her 8 children still living at home and no husband. She has land to farm, but it is bare. 8 months ago, she made the long, regretful walk to market to sell her last cow. Many people in this harsh land have sold their last goat or even their last chicken. Then, week by week, they have sold everything else. Clothes, spoons, tin plates, cups, pots, plastic sheets, even their mattresses. They cling finally to their plastic water cans, receptacles of the last drops of hope. Tonalee even had to sell hers. Painfully thin, she speaks with quiet resignation. She rises each morning with empty pockets and has the hours of daylight to somehow come up with something so that she and her children can live another day. She works someone else's land to earn the equivalent of about 30 cents a day. "My biggest problem is food," she said. The 30 cents she earns as a farm laborer buys water, but it's not enough to buy food. Her family survives on prickly pear cactus and occasional handouts from an uncle in a nearby village.
Well, as we look this over again, it's just amazing. How many kids does she have?
Well, she has 8, and 6 of them still live with her.
Okay, now, what kind of furniture does she have in her house?
Well, it says that it's pretty much bare, so nothing.
A mat or something? I mean, where do the kids sleep?
I guess they sleep on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's no bed.
I hope they have another mosquito net for the kids. Can you imagine that many kids in that one little crowd? It would be really sad.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do, you know? And said that she has no husband. We don't know whether he died or left or what, but she doesn't have one. She's only 42 years old, and she has land. She could farm it, but there's no rain. There's nothing. It's bare. There's nothing growing on it.
Right. When we say something bare in this sense, it means like that there's nothing covering it, nothing on it whatsoever. And so with no soil, you can't really grow any food.
Now, probably these farms originally had chickens and cows and, you know, just like a regular little farm. But she finally had to sell the last possession she had. What was that, Joy?
She had to sell her last cow.
Wouldn't that be sad?
Yeah.
Because a cow can give them milk. I mean, you would think they could, you know, but I don't even know how the cows can have milk if they don't have anything
right.
to eat.
Yeah, if the cows don't have food to eat either, then
they're
not
pretty skinny.
Going to
produce anything. Yeah, maybe they didn't even give milk, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't that terrible to take a long walk away to sell your cow? And some people sold their last goat or their last chicken, no more. That would be so sad. It's hard to imagine, isn't it, Renee, how that would be?
Yeah, it's definitely very hard to imagine the few possessions that you do have, you have to sell them to survive. And it's not a situation I think many people in, like, the first world are used to.
Have you ever had to sell anything that you really liked because you needed the money? Have any of you ever had to do that?
I have been very fortunate in that I've never had to sell anything in order to make money that I needed in order to pay for things that I had to have.
Mm. Well, I've had to do that sometimes, but not that this bad.
Not quite this bad, yeah.
You know, because, you know, sometimes, like, we have to pay the radio stations and we didn't have enough money. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I sold my saxophone that my father gave me when I was young, and I kind of cried because I liked that saxophone. But we had to pay the radio station and we had no money. So I had to sell my saxophone. And I felt pretty bad about that. But that's nothing compared to this. And that was silly to think about it. These
right.
people sold everything. I still had clothes. I still had a bicycle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you still had something, right? You could survive.
That's right. So sometimes we do have to sell things we really like. People sell a watch that their grandfather gave them or something because they need the money. But I don't think there's many stories this bad. What about you? Have you heard any other stories this bad before?
Not at all.
It's about the worst one, isn't it? Yeah.
I feel like oftentimes society likes to contain and hide these kind of stories because they just don't really want to feel and deal with the guilt that they have so much and yet they want to get
They don't
more.
Want to know about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're telling this story, see? And it's, people know it's still the last thing they have, but can you imagine after you sell these possessions that are worth something, to sell things like spoons and cups and in your mattresses, there's just nothing left.
Right. So you would think that, okay, a cow or a goat or a chicken, that's fairly valuable. It's a food source, right? It can produce maybe milk or eggs, and then you could eat the animal itself. But once those valuable food sources are gone, once you've sold them, all you have left are your household material possessions that have been used. These aren't new things.
You can't get much money for them, I wouldn't
No.
think.
Your clothes that you've worn, maybe they're kind
your
of
spoons.
Torn. Your spoons, plates.
Your chopsticks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did... Finally, were they trying to cling to or hang on to?
Yeah, so when you cling to something, you hang on to is their plastic water cans. So what they would use in order to carry and hold their water. So a receptacle of the last drop of hope. So this is a beautiful phrase here when we're talking about like these cans of water, which are receptacles for water. So it's something to hold a liquid or to store something. Being also not just for water, but a receptacle of the last little bit of hope that they have.
That's right. But what happened to Tonalee?
Well, Tonalee had to sell hers.
Can you imagine even selling that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sad?
So
right?
All of her hope has been sold.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she's very thin. They don't have much to eat. She's painfully thin.
Mm-hmm.
When you see pictures of these people, you see, well, how can they even live? You know, we say skin and bones almost, so thin. But she speaks with very quiet resignation. This word resignation here means acceptance. Well, I guess this is the way it is. What can we do? And she gets up in the morning, no money, and she has the hours of daylight to think about, what am I going to do to help my children so they can live today? That is very sad and very pathetic, isn't it? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. I really couldn't imagine being in a situation where I had no hope and had to every day get up and still figure out some way to try and provide for six children.
So she does try to work, doesn't she, Renee?
Yeah, that's right. I like how Josh said some way, because the article does say she has to get up to somehow come up with something. And when we use the word somehow, it means we don't know how.
Right.
So imagine every day getting up saying, you know, she says she works, it says that she works someone else's land to earn the equivalent of about 30 cents a day, which isn't a lot.
30 cents a day. How much NT is that?
About 10. 10 NT a day.
To feed how many kids? Six?
Six
and herself?
Six kids, yeah.
How can they do it? I mean, this is really sad, isn't it?
It is very sad. I think that this point of just how hard she's working, because she's farming, right? She's working someone
right.
else's land.
She's probably not very strong
which
either.
Means, yeah, she's very weak. She doesn't have a lot of food, not a lot of water. I can't imagine doing farm work and not having water to drink.
You would think those other people that she worked for would give her at least water.
But maybe they don't have any either.
So the biggest problem then is food and water, isn't it? Food.
30 cents is just enough as to buy some water, but not enough to buy food.
Isn't that sad?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to buy one or another, then you've got to buy water first.
The water has to be first, yeah. Yeah.
And so how can they survive then? What did they survive on, Joy?
They survived on prickly pear cactus and on an occasional handouts, which are something such as food, clothing, or money that is given free to someone who
somebody
has
would donate
a great
to them, right?
need for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she has an uncle in a village, but probably they think, oh, come on, we can't keep feeding you, you know. They don't, mm-hmm. It's kind of like begging, too.
Yeah, usually a handout is not looked upon in a positive way.
No.
It's like, oh, you're giving someone something for nothing.
Right.
And it's not really a donation. A donation has more compassion behind
right.
it. You want to give it.
Mm-hmm.
A handout is more begrudgingly. You don't
okay.
really want to do
Here.
It, but yeah. they need it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has an uncle in a nearby village, but they probably don't have a lot either.
Right, which is probably why they don't want to give them the handout, right? They don't have much to give.
But I don't think I've ever heard a sadder story of somebody's life than this, have you? This is pretty sad.
This is a very sad story,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very glad that the author here, Robin Dixon, has taken the time in order to write this story in such powerful language in order to really let us know what's going on. And I was looking at one of the pictures here, and the photo credit is actually by the author of the article. So in my mind, she's gone to Madagascar.
Yes, yes.
She's seen these people.
To report it.
And then she's come back and she's written this story for the LA Times, but we're also being able to share here, which is, I think, a very important part of being able to address this problem, is letting people know that this is happening.
This was published in the Los Angeles newspaper, and I hope some of the people there have donated too. But I thought it would be something for us to think about, because we think about nice, beautiful places we want to go.
Sure.
But let's think about places where they might need our help. And this certainly is one of them, isn't it?
And definitely.
Okay. Well, let's read on to find out a little bit more, because I think she's just one person. I mean, there's so many people like that. She's not the only one, but they're using this to help us understand. Let's read on.
In the village of Ikapoki, Jocelyn Rasoanakambana, 29, puts her six children to sleep without water on the days she has no money. "I can borrow a bit of money to buy water," she said. "But when it's day after day after day, even my relatives don't want to give. When we have no money, we go to bed without drinking any water." Coming up short. Humanitarian agencies have tried to help, providing cash grants, food, seeds, water, and health projects. But their efforts haven't been enough. Families are ashamed about not being able to provide for their kids. "They're embarrassed," said Joshua Poole of Catholic Relief Services.
So she probably went there herself and went to this village and talks about the fact that you could put kids to sleep without water when they don't have any money. And, you know, we just take it for granted that we're going to have water to drink, don't we, Josh?
We definitely take it for granted. You know, I know that many people will buy water because they think that it's the best water to have, but just the idea that water is available for us to use at any time and whatever way we need it, I think is something that we all take for granted.
Right.
Yeah, you just go right outside, and there's a nice little water dispenser machine, and you can fill up your cup.
And at school, they can drink water.
Yeah, you can drink water, or if you don't have a water bottle, you can go to 7-Eleven, and you can just pick one up for a few NT.
Right.
But that's not the case here in Madagascar.
So this is another village, another person, Jocelyn here, who has a very long name.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she's only 29, and she's got six children. How can she have 29? I mean, have six children when she's 29.
Well, I guess she got very, very young, started having children, and she has no money. And so some days her children go to sleep without drinking any water that day.
Right. Because even the relatives don't want to give her. So that's kind of sad, isn't it? So when you say people are coming up short, there's a lot of people like that. It means that they don't have enough. When you say, well, do you have enough money for this month? Sometimes we try to figure out how to make our money last and have a budget and say, well, I'm coming up short means, well, Buko, I don't have enough. Coming up short is not a good thing. Isn't that right, Joy?
Yeah.
Do you try to make your money come out just right sometimes?
Yeah. I like to budget my day and how much money I'm going to spend that day. So
do you ever come up short?
Every now and then, but I usually have some money saved up from the days before, so it prevents me from coming up short in the days where I need to spend more.
Can you imagine what this would be like, though? This would be no hope, Arlie. What did you think?
Yeah, I like how it says, she on the days that she has no money, she'll put her six children to sleep without water.
Isn't that
implies that, you know, some days she might have some money to buy water, but not all days. So imagine what the children think, you know, today,
mom
have
thirsty.
Enough water
yeah.
or not?
And crying and stuff. Yeah.
And not just that, it's not that they don't have water. If they don't even have water, they probably didn't even have food that day either. So
that's true, yeah. And they can't wash or anything and get the germs off their hands. I mean, you know, water is also not just for drinking, but for cleaning and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, which would help explain why there have been epidemics,
mm-hmm.
right? These uncontrollable outbreaks of disease that spread, which we mentioned yesterday. And there's no water to clean. So, of course, there's going to be disease.
There's some pictures that the kids showing them here. And now, hasn't any other groups tried to help them or not? What does it say, Josh?
Well, it says that humanitarian agencies have tried to help, providing cash, grants, food, seeds, water, and health projects. But the efforts haven't been enough.
So they don't have enough. It's good to help. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would have helped if they maybe had some pipes down and just be able to bring clear and filtered water into Madagascar? That probably would have helped. I think there's this phrase, it's called, if you give a man a fish, they can eat for a day, and if you teach a man to fish, then
right.
it will supply them for like a lifetime.
Well,
so
that's true, Joy, yeah.
By helping them, not just giving them food and stuff like that, maybe creating a system to just eliminate this problem in the end.
Well, you know what I thought? I thought of the fact that I know that they have these different ways of taking salt water and distilling it and getting the salt out of it. If there could be some kind of equipment that would get the water from the ocean, because it is an island, and then they could have enough water, because somebody has to solve the problem. You can't just always just keep giving it to them.
Well, it does say here in the sidebar, in the section about needing water, that mm-hmm. in this area, people dig holes in the sandy ground for water. So this is the equivalent of a hand-dug well. And you can only go so far down when you're digging holes by hand, because then eventually it will collapse, because you can't dig down very, very, very deep. So Joy might have a point here, where that if there is the ability in order to dig down further, they might mm-hmm. be able to get access to groundwater. But we don't know necessarily. In some of these areas, there may not be a large amount of water underneath the
That's
ground.
True.
So it's a good question to know, because it sounds like if they're talking about climate change, that this may be a problem that continues on for years and years and years. And just bringing water from the outside or bringing food from the outside isn't going to be enough for the long term.
So I'm sure the people that are dealing with these problems, the United Nations and these different groups, are thinking of that. But I still think the idea is if they could use the seawater and desalinate it, get the salt out of it, because they do that some places. But somebody has to buy that expensive equipment.
It's true. In some of the places in the world, what they call desalinization mm-hmm. plants, it's for countries that are very wealthy.
Right. So anyway, the families here, they feel ashamed because they can't provide for their kids. They're embarrassed, you know, and they want to do it. It's that they're not trying, but they just need a little help.
Right.
So we hope that somebody will think of some way to help them. Now, what does it say here during the worst drought? Read the caption under that picture on the right-hand side.
Yeah, so looking on page 41, there's a picture of some children, and right there underneath the picture it says, during Madagascar's worst drought in 35 years, parents spend what little they have on food and water, leaving no money for school costs. World Food Program school meals keep children in class and address malnutrition.
So some groups are trying to help the kids, and that's very important. I hope they can even give them water sometimes at the school. Who knows? But that's one thing they can do to help. And what does it say about needing water? Joy, do you want to read that one?
In Kobakara, people dig holes in the sandy ground for water, but the water dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week, water sellers from a village to the east drive their ox carts 9 miles along the deep sandy track, and Tonali takes out the crippled, sweaty banknotes that will decide her week.
Mm-hmm.
If I have enough money, I buy 2 cans. If not, I only buy 1 can, says Tonali, referring to the plastic 5-gallon cans used to store water. She has to borrow them. In a bad week, that leaves the equivalent of just over one soda can a piece a day.
Imagine that. She has to have to borrow the cans to put them in. So that's really sad, isn't it?
It is very sad. And I couldn't imagine. I mean, it says one soda can a piece a day. So it doesn't mean that everybody gets a soda a day. It means that that's the amount of water that they have to live off in an entire day in a very, very hot, dry environment. And I know that would be extremely hard for anyone.
That's right. Okay. So check out the website, Compassion, and also remember to be thankful for what we do have and appreciate it. Sometimes if you think you don't have enough, just read this article and say, well, I guess I do, right?
Yes.
And it's been a good article. Did you get something out of the article?
I did. It really helps me to appreciate dehydration and just the access that I have to water and food and being able to survive. I'm not worried about my daily survival.
That's right. We can get by. What about you, Renee? How did you feel after going through this article?
Well, just in general, malnutrition really moves me. And malnutrition just implies a group of people that aren't getting fed enough or not getting enough water. And so that's always just deeply touched me, the matter that's close to my heart. So I really appreciate Robin Dixon of the LA Times writing this article and raising awareness. And I love that she really spoke to the people in the village and gave us like a firsthand perspective of how terrible this life is.
Right. Joy, don't you think it's good for us to keep aware of these things?
Yes, I believe that being aware of what's going on in the world is very important, and it just brings our perspective. It gives us a more global perspective on life and just to be able to appreciate more about the little things that we often overlook in our lives.
And do what we can, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's very important to be aware, like you said, and also to keep ourselves educated. So now I'm also going to be looking more into Madagascar and looking for myself to see what's going on there and what maybe I could do.
That's true. So thanks for being with us today, and we'll have other articles coming up. But remember that in advance that you can always keep up with what's going on in the world. It's our window on the world, so we can care and have compassion. So thank you for being with us, everyone. Thank you for joining us, interns. Say goodbye for now.
Bye.
Goodbye.